and we're gonna get started. All right, everybody's good, everybody's ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So welcome to the D'Austin Show. We are here with part three of We Are Not Okay. I am here with Kevin Pryor of 950 Lounge Network, and we are here with the Bronx Fathers Taking Action. We finally got us all in one place so we can talk about some fatherhood stuff, what we do for the Bronx, what are we doing as Black men for 2020, dealing with all this craziness that's going on. I know a lot of the things that we are faced with right now, we've been faced with for numerous years, but there's just something about 2020 that is feeling like the difference is finally here or coming. So I just wanted to share this platform with you beautiful men and daddies. And I just want to start off with introducing each one. Kevin, you can start first, and then we can go to Marcus, and then Lauren and Fielder, John, and then we can start our discussion.
Well, again, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you guys. The Essence is always a pleasure to chime in with you. My name is Kevin Pryor. I'm host, founder, and producer of the 950 Lounge radio show and 950 Network. Our show broadcasts every morning from 6 to 9 a.m. on multiple networks throughout the country. And we also have a video component on Apple, Amazon, and Roku. And I co-founded the 950 Network to find new innovative programming that fits our audience, our desires, our needs, that show us in a different light.
Lauren, you want to go next?
How you doing? I'm Lauren Patterson, Bronx Father Taking Action. Also, my brother's keeper, founder of the Loving Unity Project, challenging and battling out ignorance as best as we can, active in the community, and knowing that service is a part of being living. It's not just something you do to do. It's part of being part of society.
John, you want to go?
Yeah. John Fielder. I'm the OG of the group. I'm one of the founding fathers of Bronx Fathers Taking Action. Way back in 2011 when we started this and asked Bronxville President Ruben Diaz to kind of sponsor us up and see what we could do for the Bronx Fathers in the community. Longtime Bronx member. And I'm letting these young brothers start to take over this group. Marcus is doing a fantastic job. Him and Lerone, you know. So, appreciate them.
Last but not least.
I'm Marcus Payne. I'm so proud to be a part of this Bronx Fathers Taking Action. We've been leading the charge here for probably about the last 4 years, and I think we've done a lot of great things. Additionally, like Lauren said, we're part of the board for My Brother's Keeper. Brought a bunch of kids up to Albany last year. Did a whole big thing with them before 2020 got crazy. I also am the director of our Entrepreneur Assistance Program. So I'm really big on helping entrepreneurs get going, and I feel like all of that is a role that, as fathers, we play with each other. The Bronx Fathers, we help you get right mentally, physically, and then financially, if we could get, hopefully, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I'm so happy to be.
I actually also want to congratulate all of you for your accolades and your recognition and your citation from the Bronx Borough President. That must feel amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's get to it. So you said 2011, and anybody can jump in. We're not going in any order. 2011, you guys came up with this idea. How did that all start? How do you guys know each other? Give me some story. Give me some backstory.
I guess that's left to me then, because like I said, I'm the OG of the group. Myself, Ron Hartlett, who's Pam Cornelia over at school in Co-op City, and Coach Lynn, Stephen Lynn, who's, I guess, the starter of Real Dads Network. Mm-hmm. We met at Vander Childs High School. Monica Major introduced us to each other at that event that they had at the event at High Child School, and we got to talk about the fact that fathers would go into PTA meetings and things like that with the mother, and they would be ignored. And the funny thing about that is that I complained about that, and a few years later, our boss said he experienced the same thing, and he says that all the time now, that he got tired of the fact that going to PTA meetings and with his wife and being ignored by the teacher, you know, fathers, we were there. We wanted to be a part of the children's education and things like that. And that wasn't happening. So that's how we started the group. And we asked him to put a group of other men that he may have known together. And that's how Bronx Fathers started.
And we're all from the Bronx, correct?
All from the Bronx.
So how did Lauren and Marcus get involved with the Bronx Fathers?
Be here. Thank you, guys. Now, Lauren is from Brooklyn. Lauren, tell them about your story. You from Brooklyn, Lauren. Tell them about that.
Lauren, take yourself off a mic.
So here.
Jay's in the house.
There you go. So I've been working or doing stuff in the community since Columbine, Colorado. Right. That was when I was a teenager in the military and stuff. Came back active in the community. Family always been active in the community. My blessing of my son came about, and I migrated to the Bronx.
Ah, it's your son's fault then.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that story. But what happened was I used to work in entertainment. Used to run a couple of clubs in the city. Used to be a part of. Bless you, sir. Used to run a couple of things in entertainment, different spots. Heavy working with in education at LaGuardia throughout CUNY. There's a CUNY Veterans Coalition. I'm one of the founders of that. Then I got introduced to My Brother's Keeper, and then I got introduced to the team that works with the Bronx Borough President. They introduced me. It's like, listen, we have something that we can really use your, you know, skills and, you know, your background, and introduce me to BFTA. And I've been involved since day one, since we met. Now we're just trying to expand on the programs. We had a huge build going out for 2020. Mm-hmm. Re-establish and from my perspective, reinvigorate how we gonna deal with getting the resources and supporting fathers. And that's just basically what it is.
Do you think as an organization and having the Bronx Borough President right behind you, does that give you any leverage, or do you think it would, like, is there any leverage to that, do you feel?
So from my perspective, yes and no. So I'm gonna say it like this. We do the work, right? So a group of fathers all over the place that actively, like, run their programs, actively do the thing. It isn't like you throw the BP's the name out there and it's easier, right?
Stuff happens. It doesn't.
It doesn't. That just means they demand more of you to work, you know? And more of the onus is on you to put in the work with the PTAs, with the schools, with different community programs. It helps with conversationally, but when it comes to the work, I actually think it kind of makes it harder.
Okay.
In a good way. Not in a, you know, because when you meet somebody with some clout, you know, when you meet them, you have an expectation of what they're going to deliver. Mm-hmm. So it's what you're coming with. And right. I think that way. On the other side, it does help us, you know, help us with that opening of a door to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, I feel like people like having conversations with us because they know that we connected. And I think that, you know, it helps us, like, in terms of we have a bigger bandwidth, you know, but, like, the work is still a large part is us, you know. Nobody is joining to just be a dad and come to do all of these events. And right. When we put together things like our Father's Day Zoom, where we had the borough president a part of it, that was us, you know, to run a show, to get in the sponsorships, to bring in my son. I mean, it might help people to see people's name on the flyer, but, you know, it's our relationships. You know, we're on a day-to-day basis staying in contact with Real Dads Network, staying in contact with Fatherhood is Lit. You know, if I was in D.C., while my guys from the Dad Gang was doing the march, and I went over there and I supported. It's us, you know, maintaining the relationships. And I mean, I give my hats off to Big John and Lauren, who I'm very proud to share this platform with, because when it's time to do a workshop, an event, to go to a back to school to do a park cleanup, these men are leading by example by showing up and answering the call all the time, every time. You know what I'm talking about? And that is probably the thing I'm most proud about. You know, you can have the borough president's name attached to it, but, you know, there's limits. You know what I mean? This is really like manpower, like literally like manpower, like men getting up, doing stuff, lifting, and bringing back resources and distributed them to the community. So
how many dads do we have in the organization?
So our executive leadership is the squad you see right before you, plus Lauren, plus my man Jamal King. So it's about five or six of us, and my man Victor. So it's about six or seven of us in the executive leadership. And then we've also set up branches within these various schools. So in co-op, where they do Bring Your Dad to School Day, use the Bronx Fathers Taking Action School, or over here on Kingsbridge, we do Bring Your Child to School Day over there. So we've set up a little like satellites where we could bring in members. And like I say every day, if you a dad and you bringing your child to school and you're doing the right thing, then you too are a Bronx father taking action. You know what I'm saying?
I love that. John, how is it for you to like share this organization with younger fathers? Because you're a dad too, right?
Oh, I'm a dad of seven.
Wow. So I can't even think of like how you raised your children compared to now, and like what advice you can give to these young dads. Seven kids.
And it was the last three were adopted. I was in my 50s.
Oh, John.
Seven kids. That's why Big John got a bad back. You got seven kids.
The cable, John.
The shoes that we. Because again,
oh, okay.
3 score and 10. We're telling that from here on.
His phone is going in and out. John, if you can, see if you can like reconnect. Kevin, do you have anything you would like to add or ask?
Well, yeah. Again, I want to salute these gentlemen because in the year of 2020, where it's just everything is a disaster, you're holding true. But I kind of want to switch it a little bit. And it's funny, when we started these conversations a couple months ago, we were dealing with a whole nother atrocity. Here we go again, a couple months later, and we're right back at it. And I find myself talking to my nephews, kids I work with, and they're asking themselves, like, am I next? You know, there's no answers, and it's so exhausting. I tell people all the time, it's really exhausting being a black man in America in 2020. It is exhausting. You know, again, there's people who look at these things and they go, wow. You know, I don't expect anybody who's not in my hue to understand my journey. What I do expect them to do is understand and realize it's wrong. Like, I don't know what the Holocaust is, but I know it's wrong. You know, I can't necessarily say that, you know, I know how that feels to have markings on your arm, but I know it's wrong. But I want to touch to you, gentlemen, working with kids and working with fathers, because obviously the hunt is on the fathers and the kids. But how do you train the fathers? We know the kids are going through it, but how do you train and communicate to the fathers that are going through issues and thoughts that keep reoccurring in our community?
You want to go first?
No, you got it, baby. Go ahead.
All right. So one of the blessings of the way we work, right, is that we all have different perspectives on fatherhood, right? We all have different backgrounds, different stories, different everything. Mm-hmm. The people in my life, family-wise, that I love and love me, they are, my fan does, but they their thing for me is to always come home, right? Because of the things I've been through in my life and where I've been, I'm actually the opposite, right? So I'm not gonna bend. I'm not gonna teach my child to be scared. I'm not gonna say act this way so that they can treat you right. You be you, authentically you, 24/7, all day, all night. Anything that happens, I'll deal with the repercussions. Right, because we continually perpetuate this thing in where we say, if we only do this, right, we'll do better. It'll be better if we only go to school. But then you go to school and they don't give you resources, right? If you only get better grades, but then better grades, no resources. Mm-hmm. You can only play basketball. If you can only do this. If there's always an if-then situation, right? So I'm done with the if-thens, right? So I feel the way I say is live your truth, right? If you have no trying to think of this way properly. If your hands aren't good, don't do something. You have to use your hands, right? If your hands are straight, know that you might take an L, but you got to, you understand? Because I would rather my children, like even what we do here, right? We don't make money in this, right? We do it out of love.
Right.
It's a cost at some extent to our families, to our children. But the reason I do what I'm doing is because I want it to be better for my children. So how then do I cop out, you know what I mean, run, duck, stop being mean, and then say, hey, you be your best.
Right.
I don't want to live that contradiction. That's just me personally, not pushing out nobody else. That's just me.
No, I respect that, Lauren, because, again, it's a situation where it's like playing chess and they keep changing the board every time you make a move. So, like, how can I win the game if you're going to keep changing the rules in mid-flight? So at some point, you got to say, I just got to carve my own rules. Yeah, all right, you know what? Whatever the game is, I'm going to play it Kev's way because Kev's way is the only way I can trust. And I think that's what we're dealing with. I think that the anger, like what the NBA guys are doing and some of the athletes, it's the anger. Now, again, we know most pro athletes are not living in those communities anymore, but they're still affected because unless you're a superstar, you be driving a nice car in a nice neighborhood. You know, you might get pulled over. You know, the sixth man, the eighth man on the Knicks, a cop might not identify who that person is. So, yeah, this is real life. And, you know,
I probably won't. I mean, if it's the Knicks, he probably ain't going to know nobody if it's the Knicks. If it's the Knicks, he ain't going to be like, who? You play what? Nah, but I think to your point though, I think it's always been hard being black, man. You know what I'm saying? 2020, 1943, 1865, baby. It was always hard being black. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no timeline that's going to be like, oh nah, that was a good time. That was a good time to be black.
Yeah.
So I think that with that being said, you know, I just think now it's more cameras. It's the stuff that was happening, been happening. It's just more ways to document it. And I think it's incumbent upon us as a community, the same responsibility that we had is the same responsibility we always have. You know, to understand that when people see you, they don't just see you. They see your entire culture, your entire race, your entire demographic. And I'm sure the essence can even speak to it. You know, when people see her, they don't just see the intelligent Latina with a vision right standing before them. They see everything they understood about a Latina when they see her. And it's up to us. And I hate to say that we have that responsibility, but it's up to us to lift the mantle, to uphold the mantle of our culture. Because when people see you, they see all of us. And I take it as I'm kind of proud to do it because I hope when people see me, they see all of us. You understand? Because I try to present the best example that I can of my culture. Now, will presenting that best example of my culture protect me? Will presenting that best example of my culture be a shield? Will it keep me safe? There's nothing in this world that could keep you safe other than managing your situation at the time, you know. But that's why we stand. That's why we do what we can. That's why we set forth such an example that hopefully it becomes somewhat, you know, impenetrable, you know, because God forbid if something would happen to me, you know, I would hope that y'all would hold up all these pictures of us winning awards, hold up these pictures of us doing the right thing so that people could say, nah, those was good guys, you know what I'm saying? So it could be so blatant that something went wrong because that's all they try to do. They try to wait till the cards is against us and then try to blame it on us. But truth be told, you got to uphold a mantle so that, you know, it's not going to protect you and it's not going to prevent nothing bad from happening to you. I don't want to mislead you. However, that example that you set, that character, that's your card. And you carry that with you no matter what happens. So
now, you guys deal with all ages?
Yeah. All the dads, all the granddads, the uncles, nephews,
boys and girls,
great granddads. Yeah, we have a one of our parent coordinators from the school. She comes to all of our events, and she's a super big support. And she's just a mom. She brings her kids, and I mean, you know, part of Bronx Fathers is not just fathering your own. You know what I'm saying? But it's being a father figure, setting up that example. So we could set that example in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm always proud to say it, but the fathers on my team have been fatherly to me. You know what I'm saying? Lauren to give me some advice,
thank you, my brother,
cocktails, you know what I'm saying? And tell me things that I could do better, you know? So, you know, that's important.
That's why I had asked John that question. And it sucks that he hasn't been able to come back on. I don't see him trying to get back on. But yeah, I could imagine like being a father in his time versus now. Like that would have been interesting to kind of compare and contrast your experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, because John will tell you spank your kids at an event. You know what I'm saying?
Look, the bathroom over there.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so now that you brought that up, Mark, how do you feel about that? Do you think that's the right approach? Or
I mean, I think, you know, discipline is important. You know what I'm saying? I think you got to remind your kids you could go crazy. I know I remind mine, so I advise you to do the same. You know what I'm saying?
And we're raising a young, beautiful lady too, I must say.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's scary. It's scary. So we got to have some sort of respect and some sort of agreement now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Lauren, what are you father of?
I have two. I have an older daughter. She's 14. I have a son who's 7.
All right.
Junior. Shout out to Junior.
Nice.
Junior. Look, you know, you heard his name. He going to be here in a second. He love a camera.
So being that you're raising a boy and a girl,
right?
How is that for you?
So I'm going to leave the long stories out of this conversation. But so my daughter is from when I was in the military. So okay. She's not in the New York area. That explains itself. And then my son, I've been with him every day of his life since the moment he was born.
Nice, nice.
With him, to your question you asked and Marcus answered about spanking, I don't have a problem with it. I'm not against it. I just think everything is in moderation.
Right?
Life is about learning how to moderate. Mm-hmm. That's just my thinking, right? So you got something that you're doing all the time. You might be great at it, moderation. So as long as he's doing what he got to do in moderation, sometimes he want to jump off the wall, but he'll be taking the same amount of time he jumping off the wall, reading a book, doing some math, maybe some Legos. He gets some, you know, get some that other stuff. Welcome back, Big John. You know, but, you know, it's moderation. And when he's off whack, I have to bring him back. And depending on how far off whack he is, is how hard I got to bring him back, if you understand.
Well, yeah.
And Lauren means that. Lauren means that. We are sometimes doing our open gym basketball run, and there's basketballs and there's everything, and Lauren is like, nah, you got to read first. And he's like, it's hard to read. I want to play. Like, nah, you got to read first. So I say Lauren means what he say. It's true.
How are the kids that come into the organization? Are they like ready or are they timid? They would not want to be there and then they love it. Like what's their reaction towards it?
I think any child that gets to come to any one of these events or activities with their parent, they love it. You know what I'm saying? Because what we do, we give dads an environment where they could be themselves. You know what I mean? 9 times out of 10 is mostly men. So, you know, whatever conversation you want to have, whatever you want to share it's with your child. And then if we there with other kids, it's a good space for the kids to interact. And then the fathers get a little bit of a load off because they see that they're taking part in a shared responsibility. You know what I'm saying? Okay. It's not just them. It's like, look, we all got our kids, bro. It's okay. And, you know, hopefully that encouragement goes a long way.
It's like a safe haven. Being that you do deal with a bunch of dads of all ages and, you know, of our kind, do you see what is the leading issue of why there's not enough dads out there?
That's not true.
That's
not true. So
I didn't use the word father. I used the word dad. To me,
that's still not true.
So,
okay.
So
put the us in straight. What's going on?
Right. So here's my thing, right? So I'm big into philosophy. I like to read. Tell you I'm big into reading and I do write. So in the research, there are more in our communities, statistically, we are more present any other demographic in this country.
I've read that, so.
Right? Statistically, the only time they show up our communities is when something's wrong. In other communities, if you have a father, say he's volunteered to coach a basketball team, almost 90% chance he's getting a stipend, right? For supplies, time, whatever the case may be. In our communities, a lot of fathers that do that programs don't get no stipend. Those basketballs come out of pocket, cookie money, pizza money, you know, here's something on the side, and the people generally they look bad at. I apologize for saying it like this, but the drug dealers in the community are the ones that say, yo, here, let me give you some money so you take care of kids, right? But that's historic. Back to the 50s, that's historic in the community. It ain't coming from stipends from government money, right? So when they say they're not there, it's not a matter of not being there. It's a matter as it's not visible to people who are not in the community. Like, the biggest thing that happened in Chicago this week was the bunch of teens, right, that bought the liquor store and turned it into a produce shop. Mm-hmm. You ain't never heard nothing about that unless you in that network. Mm-hmm. About the shootings, they'll tell you about nobody doing nothing in the community. They'll say, oh, these people only get mad when happening. They're like, what about the people that do the work all day, every day, all night, all every day, show up at every shooting, stop every as much violence as they can. And you never hear a word about that work.
Yeah.
Perfect example is the brother that just got shot. I mean, he was there breaking up a fight. He was in his community advocating for his community. He was stopping violence from happening in his community. And he wound up being the victim. Mm-hmm. For what reason? I mean, you have three cops standing around them. There's no reason for them to have shot him.
Right.
None whatsoever.
Right.
My thing is, and I've spoken to Ruben about this once before, we need to bring back the beat cop. The cop that knew the neighborhood.
Kevin has been saying that on all our town hall discussions.
Beat cop. That's it. I mean, he knew you.
All that. You need to know that. You need to know your neighbors in order to police them.
Right.
I'm going to live out in West Westbury and come to the Bronx and act like I know how to deal with that. And that's what we're seeing. You know, again, like, and the unfortunate part about this situation, and I have a lot of people who are different forms of political base, and they'll say, well, oh, the guy had a knife. Okay, so you mean tell me a knife gets 7 shots? The kid that, the white kid, 17 years old from Chicago that came out to Wisconsin, they gave him water. The police let him walk by after he shot somebody, killed somebody.
With a you gun, right. With a gun.
In South Carolina, they took him to Burger King. They got him a hamburger after he murdered 7 people in a church. So we have to realize that if, you know, I'm not going to be naive and think that things are not happening in our community. We need the police. I'm not here negative police. But my thing is that you got to know the people you're working with. If you're here to protect us, why should we be afraid of you? I'm 49 years old and I hear a siren around and it takes 2 blocks with me on a siren. I get nervous. I pull my car over. I don't want him following me 3 blocks and it's a problem.
Let me pull into the McDonald's.
Exactly.
Someplace lit. I need someplace lit where people might be at.
Big lights, bright lights.
How can that be? What you mean, how can that be? I've never been arrested, but the fact is that I'm from the Bronx, New York. I've been pulled over. I've been profiled. You know, I'm not driving a Mercedes-Benz, but I'm driving a damn Nissan, but I still get it. It doesn't matter. The fact is that, unfortunately, media and the perception of our skin complexion, whether we're black or brown, has been a fear. It goes back to Tarzan. You know, Ooga Boonga and all that, and all these mythical images of what we're dealing with today at the height of media where everything is social, phones, 24-hour access, everything is out here. The revolution is televised. It wasn't talked about before. They were killing people. My father was a kid. You know, my pops pulled me at 7 years old and told me, look, man, cop, you know, stop you. You just, you know, you put your hands out and everything. Now everything is televised. Imagine when it wasn't televised.
Yeah, but I think that's what makes the things like yourself, Kev, and The Essence, I think that's what makes what you guys do so relevant, because, you know, that's what makes it so much important for us to tell our story. We have to answer and address the misnomers. You know, you need Lauren to bring up stats about how it's a misnomer, a disbelief that, you know, fathers are not involved, especially Black fathers, and then bring up stats, and then somebody like The Essence to say, yeah, nah, I know that stat. You know what I mean? And somebody like John to show, give an example of how fathers are involved on an everyday basis. And I think, I don't think nothing justifies what happens in our or to our community. You follow me? There's nothing that could justify someone getting shot 7 times point blank range. You know what I mean? I don't care if you had a knife, you didn't tase him. You could have tackled him before he went to the car. There's tons of things that could be wrong. And I think, you know, harping on what they do wrong is a funny position, because they've been doing stuff wrong, you know? And it seems like with the camera on or with the camera off, with people paying attention, you would say even with all of the attention and stuff to it, you would think people would think twice and be like, nah, I'm gonna just chill for a minute. But no, it don't matter. It could be hot.
It's too hot right now, sir.
It's too hot. Chill. Nah. Yeah, they don't care.
You can't make that move right now.
Yeah.
You know? Yo. Things that we have to tell our young people, because it's changing so much, we have to also remember that our young Black men are dating white girls now, all right, or Asian girls. And they have to remember that if you're with a group of people, the person they're looking at first is you, because of who you are. No matter how good you are, you could have went to the best school in the city and best school in the country, you still comes down to the fact that you're the Black one in the group. So that you have to be more aware of what's going on than anyone else.
Right.
And that's bad. Because we have to deal with that now. You know, we have our little, you know, our kids are marrying white kids. Yeah. So
a lot of biracial children coming into the world.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These little girls have to understand that, you know, you may look white, but you're Black.
Wait. Go ahead, jump in, Lauren.
There's a distinction in something I want to clear up. Remember I said it's a beautiful thing how we all have our own unique experiences, right? So I went to school in Rockland County in the 90s, right? I was in the group home system. I got sent up there. My high school years were split between Brooklyn and Rockland County.
The dichotomy.
Rockland County. The children who were 15 years old with permits for licenses had Lexus, Benzes, and Beamers. When I came home, I rode the train. Mm-hmm. When they were eating steak, lobster, and all that stuff every day for lunch, I was traveling with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But John just said something. That whole thing about the reason why I refuse to teach my son, or from my words, to teach fear, right, is this. When I was in high school, I was afraid to date, touch, go, be anywhere private with any of the girls in my school. There were only 9 Black people in my school, including 2 janitors. You understand what I'm saying? For the first 2 years, until I got educated and I got more secure with myself and who I was, right? My first 2 years, I used to have girls that used to, and this is not, I used to be in shape, you know what I'm saying? I used to play football. I used to sing, you know what I'm saying? I was king back then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I ever seen him dance. He got light feet, I swear. If y'all ever seen him dance, he's light.
So there were some girls that used to come, and in the hallway between classes, they used to kiss me. I didn't know what that was about. I didn't want nothing to do with them, right? At the school in my bathroom, it was like nigga, nigga, nigga. You understand? I used to have brawls, all out brawls. When I was a football camp, they had a night called Gate Night. Well, I was the target for the night. I had to back up to a gate. The reason why I'm saying this, right, is I'm not going down the far deep end, right? But when we talk about the interracial dating, right, I spent half of my life in fear of dating somebody because I thought something would happen to me.
Wow.
I want to teach that to my son.
Wow.
I'm not going to teach or perpetuate the same thing that says, ooh, you can't do this because you look like this.
Yeah.
No, if that's what you want to do, you do it. My son can do whatever he want to do. My daughter do whatever you want to do. Don't act up. Be the person I taught you. Be yourself, mm-hmm. right? You ain't got no ignorance. I'm not teaching no ignorance. I'm from a lot of ignorance, if you understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
No doubt. We need
because I'm not gonna have them being fair.
Right.
That's something you gotta. So it's not to make it any longer, but it's the we have so many different facets of the problem to face. The internal within the community, the internal between different parts of the community, the internal against the external, and then how the community deals with the government on different levels. Right. And we got to do that all at the same time.
That's why I really salute what you gentlemen are doing, because part of the root is if you don't have it at home and you're watching and you're getting it all from TV, you mentioned, Lauren, about the drug dealer, like, you know, the supporting the community basketball and stuff. You know, right. That happens in communities. But sometimes the kids look at that and go, wow, that's my aspiration. So whereas another community, somebody wants to be a lawyer and doctor because their father or grandfather was a lawyer or a doctor. In certain communities, they go, wow, I want to be the hustler because that's the guy with the pretty girl, the big car, and the nice clothes. So I think, again, it brings it back to say, hey, listen, you don't have to have a wicked jump shot or sling crack rock to make it. And I think it's important where if I don't have it at home, it doesn't have to be biological. If I have men, like I used to coach youth football, and his kids now have their own kids, they call me coach. And it wasn't because of football. They weren't going to be the next Reggie Bush, but it was about just having a father figure, Bush. Somebody can talk to and say, hey, listen, you know, things are not always peachy at home. Mama got to work 3 jobs. You know, I don't know, you know, different things, just life. And I think it's so important. That's why I salute what you guys are doing. Heighten what's going on in the, you know, that's happening, playing in front of our eyes with the killings, even though it's been going on. And even with a pandemic where people have to social distance and necessarily can't have that same closeness, it's imperative that young people and even people like ourselves to be able to communicate, because sometimes we don't have the answers and we need to communicate and search out information. So salute to you guys, man, and continue.
Thank you.
One of the things I think that is so important that to remember about what Bronx Fathers do is the fact that we try to let people know that it's important for a father to be there regardless of if he's rich or poor, because their fathers that are absent in Riverdale, you know, they may not be home because they're working all day and their son is in the backyard, you know, cooking up meth and stuff like that. So they have the same issues that we have. It's just on another level. And we have to understand that it's important that fathers in our community know that we don't need a lot of money to make our kids happy. Most of our kids are happy just being with us. Mm-hmm. Lauren, I see him with his son, and he brings his sons to me and stuff like that. His son is happy. Marcus brings his daughter everywhere. You know, I'm getting ready to say, yo, man, Marcus, what's up with that? You know?
I love that.
Yeah.
That is a real.
You know, but it's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
And we have to remember that that's why we're here. That's why we're here.
And it's not easy. You know? It's not easy because that time is the most valuable thing. He's right.
How are you feeling, John, with like all these changes? Like, I've known you probably seen a lot in your day. So, like, how are you feeling now with everything that's going on? Do you feel that we have a lot of younger men, a better generation to make things really, like, go forth with change?
Yeah, it can be.
Fatherhood or race or whatever the case may be?
I think it's important that I see the changes, and I think they're important changes, all right? The changes that are happening, though, that we don't understand how important we are to these younger people, all right? I'm an old guy, you know? I had a guy call me last week and talked about, are you the same John Fielder that was the director of the Salvation Army over on 159th Street. And I'm saying, yeah, who the heck are you? You know, he knew my pastor. He knew another brother that I work with. They used to be on the work for the transit authority together. And I'm saying, this kid remembered. He even sent me pictures of the fact that, John, you didn't give us basketballs and footballs because you always said that we're not going to make it in the NBA. We need to try and get scholarship money, fencing, doing archery, playing golf, lacrosse. I was the odd person. I'm not giving you a basketball. I'm going to give you a fencing for it. You know, I'm going to give you a lacrosse stick.
Yeah.
These are that we don't get a chance to do. We took kids to Vermont on expeditions and taught them how to rappel. How many black kids you know what even rappelling is? Mm-hmm. You know? So, and that's what I would love to see happen with Bronze Fathers. And we get somebody to sponsor us.
Let me get on that for you guys, fellas. That's my expertise.
Yes, please. Deal with Kevin when it comes to marketing and promotion.
Good plug, John. That was all well said. Good plug.
That was great.
I knew he was serious when he sat up in the chair. Whatever, when he sat up, I was like, oh, let me go on mute. This is about to be good.
Those two. People forget it ain't just football, basketball, and baseball. You know, you get scholarships for a lot of different things. And, you know, and to see that we're not necessarily playing, and that's important to know.
But that comes through experiences. Like one of the dudes we work with, Charles from Travel with Chaz, right? Awesome organization, tries his best to have children, introduce them to brand new experiences, different things. Takes children out to the Poconos. He takes them to volunteer. I give you another quick segue from my time in Rockland County, right? Understand what I'm about to say. In the 90s, right? I want to say 96, 95. The children in my school who graduated special ed, right, who had special needs, right, they graduated with Regents diplomas.
Special ed.
Special ed, special needs children graduated with Regents diplomas.
Interesting.
In Brooklyn, the city, right, when you got a Regents diploma, it was something special.
It was. It was hard.
99% of my senior class had APs. Most of the people that I was still dealing with in Brooklyn didn't know what APs were.
Wow, yeah.
When I was in junior high school and high school, every single year, community service was mandatory. One year I was in an old elite place. My seventh grade, I used to go with the children. I worked in BOCES with children with special needs for 7 years straight, from sixth grade to 12th grade. We don't have that in our communities. So the connection isn't there. The wealth of knowledge is lost. Yeah. That seeing that other person or those people by the elder folks' home or the people by the shelter or whatever are strangers, as opposed to in other communities, they have those problems. They are mandatory.
Yeah.
For us, we got to do the minimal that they give us that is hard to get to because of lack of resources.
Yeah.
Got to stretch it harder to teach what they're not teaching in the school and at the same time instill those other things. How this all ties back to the experiences. What we have to do in our community or what we're trying to do or where we're leading or we're trying to bring the effort to is having that connection where we're introducing each other to each other's experiences. Mm-hmm. Us talking to you, the essence, you, Kevin, right? Learning your story, learning worshipful. Even though I may not be able to experience that experience, I can gain from your experience.
Absolutely.
That's the beauty of talking with John or working with John. That's the beauty of working with Marcus. You know what I'm saying? When we all together. As Marcus said earlier, Marcus be teaching me too. He forever out there banging, doing this thing, right? I be like, yo, I'm where you need me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You get me? But that's the beauty of it.
Lauren, I don't mean to cut you off, but it goes back again to the fact that, you know, they've taken away the vocational schools from our kids. You know, where we used to be able to come out of school, we used to go to
Dodge High School, and you came out as a nurse. You had a job right away as a nurse. You came out of Gompers. You could go work in any mechanic shop, automatic. Wow. Now they don't have that anymore. They don't have those places for us anymore. And we have to pay to go to DeVry to learn the same stuff that we learned in high school. We got to pay thousands of dollars.
And still not get a job.
You know? It's sad.
It's totally set up for failure, and that's what we need to change in our communities. Yes. I have a question. We'll be wrapping up in a couple of minutes, but speaking with dads and being around fathers, do you sense any type of common fear? Is there anything that always comes up that a dad expresses and you're like, okay, that is something we need to kind of cater to?
Not being able to be with their kids. Losing
really?
Yes. That's
so a just situations or whatever the case may be.
Between the wives or the girlfriends or whatever, they don't want the kids. You know, I'm mad at daddy, so you can't see your daddy.
Yep.
You know, mad at him. You know?
Nas once said that in one of his songs. Don't bring emotion to court because it's not a problem. The emotion. Yeah.
Go ahead, Marcus, chime in.
All right, but remember your mic is off whenever you do want to talk. Okay, go ahead, Lauren.
The biggest thing I get from conversation is the fear of not being enough.
Really?
Right.
So now we're dealing with lack of confidence within oneself.
Well, it's not just the confidence. It's just so many things. Like, you got bills. You got to work two jobs. It's hard to be there and have that time to do it, child, right? And then you say, ooh, let me do a movie. But then I'm not going to lie. In my house, we do two movie nights. Because one night, depending on how my week was, I might fall asleep in the movie. You know what I'm saying? I still play that, right? You like, that doesn't count. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
not have enough time to do the fun stuff or to have those experiences where, like, if you miss stuff in your life, we get caught up sometime in trying to be the person we wanted for our child, that we try to jam-pack all that stuff that I didn't get, I wasn't, and all that stuff. And it's like, yo, can I get it all in there? Can I? So you're trying to find a way to put 20 million things in a day.
Got it.
Of the challenge of learning to love who you are and be from there. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Flaws, weaknesses, everything you are.
Damn.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Marcus.
No, I agree with that. That's the. I was just about to say, damn, I wish I would have been going live with this whole thing because that is like the realest thing that I just, for real. I was sitting here when John said what he said, and then I was like, oh, I would say that. But then when I heard what you said, I was like, yeah, that is what I hear a lot. I hear a lot of time, man. You know, it's hard. Being a dad, being a mom, being a parent as a whole, it's hard. Your time, you pulled in so many different directions. And dads often struggle with the time to make money and the time to spend time with their family. And I think that's one of the things that we really try to do with the Bronx Fathers Taking Action is to take some of the pressure off you to be like, yo, come to this. Come to this event that we're doing. Because when you come to this event, you probably don't even really have to spend money and you can spend time. And we're going to provide the food.
Right.
We're going to provide the environment. We're going to provide the activity. All you got to do is come. All you got to do is come through. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to give you the resources and just bring your child. And this is a safe space where you could spend your time, where you don't have to worry about being enough because your kids is just going to be thankful that you're here. We got the burgers. We got the fries. We got the drinks. We got the sport activity. Whatever you want to do, just come through. Yeah, you want to march in the parade. We got a flag for you to wave. You want to give out some food. Like, you could pick what you want to do. We did a movie premiere. All you had to do was just bring your kid. We gave you popcorn, the movie ticket. And at the end, we had Brian Banks come through. And then not only did he come through, he brought his book.
He signed the book.
I still got it. You know what I'm talking about? Brought his book. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I still got it. It's real. He brought his book. He autographed some for people, you know. And I think these are the things that we try to do to make situations real, you know what I mean? To make it tangible and to convey the love, because that's how we see it. That's how we feel it. That's when we connect. And it's not easy being a father in 2020. You got to be innovative and creative. But at the same time, the basic principles are the same, man. Make time. Make time. Spend the time with the ones that you love and know that you are enough. Just being there is enough. You don't have to feel like the money. You don't have to feel like you need a certain threshold. And most men are surprised because when you spend a little bit of time, things get easier. Even a woman will understand. She might be like, oh, you came, you don't got nothing? You're like, nah, but I'm here. The next thing you know, it's food or, you know what I'm saying, stuff on the TV. You're like, oh, all right.
Everybody likes time.
Man, time. Oh, okay, that's what you really want. And it's the thing we don't got enough of, so time, man.
And yeah. Say something?
Little fixes around the house when you do go to sleep, you know? All right. I'm not going to step on nobody's toes, whoever's living here, but if there's something that's wrong, let me see if I can fix it for you right now, you know? Especially if it's going to benefit my child, all you right. know? Let's do this, you know? We ain't got it has nothing to do with me and you. It has to do with how we're trying to make them feel in life.
How come? What kind of resources are we providing the families with? Just so.
Yo, we give dads. We connect dads to child support lawyers if you need it. We connect dads to resources to help somebody. Sometimes you just need another man to speak to that give you some advice as you're going through the steps. We could connect you to anybody in the family court, things of that nature. And if we have any jobs or anything that we're available to, we'll try to forward those to you. Things of that nature, you know what I mean? And if I can't,
we're talking nothing about is the fact that we do have resources with the suicide prevention hotline. Also,
that's right. Tell them about mental health, dads. Get control of your mental health. We connect you to my man Brett with suicide prevention. You know, because this being a father, it's a psychological thing. It puts some pressure on you. You know what I mean? Make you age. You see, my man Kev lost a lot of weight over there. Kev, I meant to tell you that, Kev. I see you. I've been seeing you sweating, but it's showing. It's showing, Kev. You hear me? I see you sweating, but it's showing.
I appreciate it, Marcus. I appreciate it.
It's showing. Now, when the gyms was open, we was giving free passes to the Blink Gym membership. You know, we had a basketball when the courts was good. We do an open gym so dads could just get some of that frustration out and get out the house early on a Sunday. Come work with us. We don't mind throwing fouls and all that. We like it.
You guys sound a lot of fun and very productive. I love that.
Thank you.
Being a fall is a great thing. And I think, again, you bros are helping out with the stress and anxiety and again, just bring the time. The one precious thing you cannot buy is time.
Right.
What is the difference between the men that are there and the men that don't come? Like, what is it that would bring a man out with his child to do these type of things?
You want to?
I don't know if that question makes sense.
That's a deep question.
So,
the want to. They have to want to.
Okay.
You know, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, that's all it is.
I think the one, two is one thing. I think they got to know about it. And that's why stuff like this platform, this The Essence, having a chance to speak to you, being on Instagram Live with you, being on any platform, I think more dads need to know about it. This is the kind of thing where people got to be encouraged. You understand what I'm saying? They're being told. Sometimes when you tell people about bad behavior, it doesn't respond with correct behavior. Sometimes that negative reinforcement only perpetuates bad behavior. You got to give them good event. You got to say, hey, dads, I see you. I see you fathers out here. Y'all trying to make a difference. I see you out here playing a role in your life of your children. I see you. I hear they say that black fathers aren't involved, but I see you out here putting in work. And that encouragement is only going to get the best out of the community that you're trying to serve. So that's what we provide. We provide encouragement. We provide that space that like, yo, dad, y'all doing great. Because when you see us get awards and recognition from the borough presidents about Bronx Fathers Taking Action, it's not Marcus getting an award. It's not Lauren. It's not John getting an award. It's Bronx Fathers being recognized by the borough president for being active in the lives of their children in their community. That's what you're seeing. You understand? And that's the best thing that we could give to anybody is just to acknowledge that Bronx Fathers put in work. You know what I'm saying? And that Bronx Fathers is here and Bronx Fathers are active. That's the best thing that we could do. It's not about us. You know what I mean? Because I'm fallible. You know what I'm saying? I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, baby. For real. And there's not these men next to me that hold me accountable.
Nice. Well, did you
want to
say something?
Guys, give out donations and things of that nature. How can people get involved?
Yeah.
Great question. The best nation is donation.
There you go. That's my brother. That's my brother.
Right.
If you don't ask, you can't get it. So
yeah,
they can give.
So they got to reach out to Lauren or myself or John. Reach us at bronxfathers@gmail.com. Am I right, Lauren?
Yes, sir.
bronxfathers@gmail.com. Hit us there. Let us at Bronx Fathers taking action on our Instagram. Wow, look at that light. It made a difference. That's why you need kids. You see my daughter? She's like, nah, you need light. Bronx Fathers taking action on our Instagram. Bronx Fathers on Facebook. Where else we at? We any place else they need to see us, guys?
I think we're on Twitter also.
We're on Twitter. We're in these streets.
Twitter. Instagram.
And we in these streets. And we in these homes.
That's what I was thinking about, Mr. Pants. In these streets. That's where you got to be.
We definitely in the
streets. Absolutely. When we get back in studio, I want to bring a few of you guys on so we can just have like a panel discussion.
That would be awesome.
This was kind of break ice and just get it done, promote it. But yeah, I definitely want to bring you guys in. Marcus has been there. It's a nice setup and we'll be good with there. Yeah,
yo, we got to take a ride out to Queens and go see my man Kev. I need to see that 950 studio, Kev.
Yeah, boy,
we got the radio aspect, so you guys can head on over there too.
Yeah, get us on that radio show.
We're actually coming back to the Bronx, so
he said he don't want us in Queens.
We be BX, baby. We saying the BL.
officially announced, but
you down thing.
Studio in on the 12th of September, we'll be in the Bronx.
All right, so line us up for September so we could get on the calendar.
Let's
and
do
then
it.
You know, we'll bring this live and then hopefully we keep this energy and keep promoting what we're doing. We have a back to school event we just did, and there's another back to school event coming up. So
might be able to even at the place we're at where y'all can set some stuff up. So I'll be in touch. I got your info.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, sweetheart. How are
Shout
you?
Shout out to Junior.
I'm doing good.
Good.
Hi, what's up, King?
You're hanging with Daddy. I love that. Yeah. He has a smile on.
I'm eating dinner.
That's good.
Eating dinner.
Yeah. Eating dinner. Is there any last words that anybody wants to mention? Any advice, any tips on dads to be or dads that don't know what the hell to do?
So, for my people,
we have a safe place for them. We have a place for them to come and speak with us. That's what we call ourselves. We have a safe venue. You can come and speak about any and everything to us. That's one thing that we don't hold back on. My kids tell me all the time, Dad, you're too raw sometimes. But listen, we give it to you in love. We're going to definitely give it to you in love, and we're going to let you speak your mind because that's what we want to know. We want to know what you want from us. Not what we can give to you, but what you want from us. Yeah. That's what we've always been, that organization. And I think Marcus and Lauren are going to keep that going, wanting to know what fathers want from us, not what we can give to them.
Right.
That's right. And I'm consider me one of John's kids because I also think he's too raw, but I love him anyway.
Oh, they say you rough, John.
Raw.
That's that OG discipline. That's what that is, right?
That's all it is.
You know, some of those old tactics work. Sometimes I feel that these kids are not fearful of anything.
Nah,
or the respect level's not there, or they just know too much adult business. Something's just not right with the kids nowadays. And sometimes you do need to come with an old school, you know. Get in line and see what's going on.
Oh, get in line.
Hit you. By the time you got home, mama knew about it, and you got another one when you got home because Miss Jones done beat you already. When you get home. So you didn't want that. Word. These kids nowadays, they don't care.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for taking out the time and showing face and being on the discussion. I love all of you. Thank you for everything you do every single day with your own kids and with kids out here and the fathers. You're welcome. I believe that it needs to be broadcast every single day, every single place.
That's why we need you out to do your thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of lost individuals out here, and we're always talking about mothers and females. And blah, blah, blah. No, our men need help too, and we need to be here for everyone. So I appreciate all of you being here, and thank you for being on the show with me and Kevin Pryor. And we'll talk. I love you guys. Be safe out there.
Thank you for the show.
Thank you for having us.
Of course, absolutely. And when we're back in studio, you guys come on to the Yes Show, right?
Anytime.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for joining us and watching.
Thank you. Thank you. Be great, y'all.
50, and we out.
All right.
Bye.